Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks, and we're going to touch down in Washington to catch up with a fast-moving story about embattled Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. An FBI investigation into allegations that he sexually assaulted Christine Blasey Ford when they were in high school is expected to wrap up this week. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell expects there to be a vote to confirm him. Meanwhile, President Trump, who'd been somewhat restrained in his comments about all this, shifted tone yesterday at a political rally in Mississippi, where he mocked Blasey Ford.
I had one beer, right? I had one beer. Well, do you think it was? Nope, it was one beer. Oh, good. How did you get home? I don't remember. How'd you get there? I don't remember. Where is the place? I don't remember. How many years ago was it? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Republican Senators Susan Collins of Maine, Jeff Flake of Arizona, and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, all key swing votes in this nomination fight, criticized the president, Collins calling his comments just plain wrong, Murkowski calling them appalling. Joining us now from Washington is Sahil Kapoor, national political reporter for Bloomberg Politics. Sahil, good to have you. Thanks for being on the show.
Hey, Anthony. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I want to ask you about the president, who's been, as we mentioned, somewhat restrained about all of this. But then yesterday, he sort of returned to form. What kind of reaction has there been to this attack on Christine Blasey Ford?
Right. Well, the reaction on Capitol Hill is, as you can imagine, overall pretty negative. Democrats are very critical of his remarks. Several Republicans, as you pointed out, those three key votes, Flake, Murkowski, and Collins, are also critical of the president. But it remains unclear that that changes the calculus in any meaningful way. These senators, these Republican senators that you just mentioned, are not going to, you know, cast their votes on the basis of something the president says. They're, thinking is a lot more complicated.
Right. Well, I want to talk a little bit about Senator Jeff Flake, who was in Boston on Monday and talked about the importance of a real FBI investigation. Then yesterday at the Atlantic Festival in Washington, he raised concerns about the partisan nature of Kavanaugh's testimony last Friday. Here's a bit of what he said.
I was very troubled by the tone of the remarks. The initial defense that Judge Kavanaugh gave, I hope that I would sound that indignant if I felt that I was unjustly, you know, maligned. But then it went on, and the interaction with the members was sharp and partisan, and that concerns me. We can't have this on the court.
So interesting about that, Sahil, is when I heard Senator Flake in Boston on Monday, he was a little more restrained than that comment, which was pretty forceful, saying that we can't have this on the court. What do you hear in that comment?
Well, this has become a big part of the whole debate surrounding Kavanaugh. One of the main Democratic arguments is that his credibility came into question in that hearing and that his temperament was not very judicial. In other words, he lashed out, you know, he was angry, he was a little bit belligerent at times. He, in the words of Flake, sounded like what an innocent man would sound like if he's accused, but still, the argument is that how a judge should sound, that kind of overt partisan, you know, attitude? So that's been a big part of the, part of the discussion that's been a huge part of the criticism coming forward, that even if he is innocent, can someone like Brett Kavanaugh be trusted to rule and to judge impartially if he's expressing these overtly partisan sentiments? And of course, the question others are asking is he going to hold a grudge as a result?
Right, right. Interesting that Flake is bringing that up. He's of course, one of the key swing votes. Last Friday, he was the one who sort of shocked the world when he pushed for a delay to allow the FBI investigation. So what do we know about the FBI investigation so far? First of all, do we know when it's expected to conclude, when we might see something about it from it? Will we see something from it?
I've heard some chatter among senators today that it could wrap up as early as today. And the report would first go to the White House, and pretty soon it would be here on Capitol Hill. It would be, according to Senate Majority Leader McConnell, available for every senator to look at privately. It won't be released to the public, however. We don't know exactly when that's going to end. The FBI has not been, speaking publicly about this investigation, as it usually doesn't. But everyone is kind of anxious to see when it comes out, and people are on guard for it to potentially land today, if not later.
Right. And Sahil, what are lawyers for Christine Blasey Ford and Deborah Ramirez, who has also made allegations against Judge Kavanaugh, what are they saying about the FBI investigation so far?
They are arguing that the FBI is not conducting a thorough investigation, that it's not following up on requests from them for follow-ups and for interviews to speak with the FBI, that it hasn't, you know, pursued other leads that they consider relevant to the investigation, tried to contact other witnesses that they believe, you know, could corroborate or at least shed some more light on the allegations here. So they have said publicly that they worry the FBI's hands are being tied and that it's not conducting a thorough investigation. And those concerns have been echoed in many of Kavanaugh's critics here on Capitol Hill.
Right. Meanwhile, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell talking about a vote as early as this week. How soon could that come? And do we know if it'll be a straight up floor vote, or could Republican leadership take some kind of different route here?
Well, it would have to eventually be a floor vote on the confirmation, but what McConnell has said is the full Senate will vote on the nomination this week. Now, if we want to parse that, that means it could go up until Saturday. It's not clear whether McConnell is talking about a final Senate confirmation vote or if he's talking about beginning the process, which involves a procedural vote followed by 30 hours of debate this week. So a lot of questions. Now, I will say McConnell has been very confident that Kavanaugh will be confirmed, and he has maintained that confidence. He does not have 50 votes yet. Assuming Flake is still a yes, he said he's going to support the nomination, but he wanted that FBI investigation first. Assuming he's still a yes, McConnell can only count to 49 votes right now because Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski have not yet decided. It's very likely to come down to those two. If both of them vote no, then the nomination is probably dead. If one of them votes no, the nomination could still survive if the other votes yes. So, to anyone watching this site and wants to know how it's going to come down, keep your eyes on those two.
Interesting. So I want to come back to President Trump sort of clearly doubling down on this strategy of whipping up his base. I guess at that rally in Mississippi where he criticized Blasey Ford, he also said that it's a scary time for young men in America when you can be guilty of something that you may not be guilty of. What effect do you think all of this might have on the coming elections? What's your view on that, Sahil?
The president is trying to counter the argument that his critics and critics of Brett Kavanaugh are making, which is that there is a serious possibility that Brett Kavanaugh may be a sexual assaulter and he does not deserve to be on the Supreme Court. Now, what Trump is pointing out is that someone like Kavanaugh deserves the presumption of innocence in his view, and it could set a bad precedent for men down the line if Kavanaugh is denied, a Supreme Court seat in this case, or by kind of virtue of presuming to have been guilty. So it's a counter to the whole Me Too movement, which says that women are coming forward in increasing numbers, that sexual assault is a rampant problem, and that women deserve to be heard. They deserve to be believed. He's kind of trying to flip that around and say, well, what about the young men? What about the young boys who worry that they could be falsely accused of something? The flip side to all of this is, of course, the argument here is not about Brett Kavanaugh's freedom. This is not a criminal trial where he could go to jail. This is about whether he gets a promotion. So the standard, in the views of his critics should be higher.
Yeah. Meanwhile, very quickly, I want to ask you very quickly about the New York Times story, which did this major investigation alleging, among other things, that Donald Trump's wealth was not self-made, but was the result of a huge fortune that he inherited from his dad. And probably because, according to the Times, he engaged in a series of suspect tax schemes. Now, another time in history, an allegation like this against a sitting president would be seen as a huge deal. How has the White House responded to this?
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack. The Times called it outright fraud. I talked to a bunch of tax lawyers and found that, the activities that the organization engaged in to, limit the amount of estate taxes that Fred Trump would have paid, for instance, were very much outside the bounds of the law, and according to the Times reporting. And it also goes against President Trump's argument that he is a self-made man, that his wealth was only, that only a tiny bit of it, in his, you know, words, was inherited, when that does not appear to be the case, according to this investigation. The White House has responded by lashing out, by attacking the Times, by attacking the press, kind of a familiar tactic mm-hmm. that it has used in the past.
Right. Well, Sahil Kapoor, national political reporter for Bloomberg Politics, thank you so much for joining us today. We're very grateful.
Thank you.